singing with our spirits. I'll introduce him in just a mo. Anyone, before we get going, anyone new on the Zoom call tonight who has not done one of these Monday nights before? Most of you look like old hands. We've been doing it for about a year, 15 months,
New
something like that. Oops.
iPhone seems to be new, but I don't know iPhone's name. It looks
I
like you
didn't hear
might
that,
just be
sorry.
changing it.
I don't do this, babe.
I said iPhone is putting their hand up as somebody new.
Oh, okay. Which is iPhone? Where's that?
Oh,
Hello?
I've just
John?
opened.
No? He's gone.
On.
So, anybody else new tonight?
Yes, I'm new.
Right.
I'm Sarah and I'm the fuzzy picture, but I have
Oh,
no
hello,
idea how
Sarah.
to make it any better. I've tried, but it just won't.
Okay, no
It
worries. And where are
won't.
you, Sarah?
I'm in Kenilworth in Warwickshire.
Ooh, and what's the connection with this?
I have been to one of your Jesus ministry days a long time ago,
Okay.
before the pandemic, I think.
Okay. Gosh, life before the pandemic. Can we even remember that far back? My goodness. Well, lovely to have you with us, Sarah. And I think iPhone, Mr. Man with the blue shirt.
I don't mind.
Hiya, what's your
My
name?
name's Jack.
Hi, Jack. Where are you from?
EFCC Church.
Oh, okay. Brilliant stuff. So that's Rich Seaman's church. Anyway, we normally have a bunch of people from EFCC on, so I don't know who's on tonight. Oh, there's Rich. He's with us. Anyone else from EFCC tonight? Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Hiya.
Can you
Brilliant
hear me?
stuff. Yeah, I hear you.
This
Great.
is not Joel, it's Irena. I used to be part of Christchurch.
I'm trying rapidly to see which picture am I meant to be looking at.
Can you see me
Oh,
okay?
yes.
It's
Hello, Irena. I
Joel.
recognize you. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, we're back in Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
And yes. Nikki told me about
Yeah, I was
I
going to say, you
receive
and
your.
Nikki used to be tight, right?
Yes,
We
we
still
still
are.
are. Yeah. Oh,
Hello, darling. I'm here.
Hi.
It's great, isn't
I know.
it?
Yeah, and I'm part of your email on your email list, so
Okay,
that's how I got
awesome.
it.
What a privilege to have you from Ukraine. Wow. So we've
Yes.
Australia,
Interesting.
Africa.
Just a
Richard, where are you?
okay. Yeah, I'm in Marseille Land, in a little town called Narok. So it's south of Nakuru, west of Nairobi, east of Kisumu, and north of Tanzania, but
Wow.
right smack in the middle. So yeah, and it's sort of very cold here as well.
Okay. Oh,
Not
bless
very
you.
cold, like 15 degrees, not seven, and it's certainly not like the UK either. But no, we have a cold spell now. Very, very dry, mind you, but lovely, very, very lovely place.
Lovely to
Lovely
see
people
you.
here.
Anyone
Yeah,
else
thank you. And you
international with us
guys.
tonight? Okay, well, everyone else is in the UK. Brilliant. Well, we'll crack on. Lovely to see everybody tonight. Let me introduce Steve. So
Morning.
I met Steve in 2017 when we were doing some an evangelistic outreach centering around worship and music. And Steve and I met up, and I heard about what he had been doing, and we realized that we very, very much thought along the very, very same lines. And so since the very early in the pandemic, we've met pretty much every month for a pub lunch of some sort, and walked together through thick and thin. And there's been a lot of thick, and there's been a lot of thin. We've walked together, and I genuinely I love Steve as a brother. I love what he who he is. And I also love what he carries, because his desire is to for people to be released in their spirits, and actually activate their own spiritual, authentic sound, song, frequency, and
The first
flow.
time Claire Bennett let two beavers move onto her ranch, half the county thought the drought had finally gotten to her. She
I
was
have no idea where
devastated.
that's coming from, but could we stop it? It
Standing
looks like
beside
a
the
nuisance.
creek.
What was that? That is funny. Oh,
AI.
is that gone?
It's gone. Yeah, I think I muted
Okay.
and then he unmuted, so it's
Okay,
now gone.
thank you.
Okay.
I love it. Don't you love Zoom? You gotta love it. And so his desire, my hope tonight is that what we've said we're going to do is do 6 months on activating our spirit, understanding our spirit nature and how we actually connect, move, and activate it. And so one of the most significant elements of activating your spirit is learning to flow and sing and make melodies in your heart and flow in the spirit. Something happens when we sing, even perhaps beyond when we talk, because we're so used to talking what we think. When you sing, you start to have to flow in a different type of way. So Steve's going to talk a little bit tonight about what does it mean to activate your spirit, flow in your spirit, and around all that. So why don't we, before I hand over to Steve, why don't you just let's take a moment and just activate our spirits so we listen and learn spirit to spirit. We want spirit revelation flowing into our spirits, into our souls, and into our bodies. So just take a moment, just breathe, get comfortable, let your body relax. Just be aware of any of the tension of the day, any of the anxiety of the day, and just shake it off and put it into the hands of the Lord. And take three or four really slow, deep breaths. And we can activate and flow in the spirit in all sorts of ways, but one of the most simplest ways to jump straight in is begin to pray in tongues, sing in the spirit, sing melodies. And so the next, I would suggest to put your Zoom on mute. And for the next, and we're just going to be very simple at the beginning, the next couple of minutes, just begin to flow in the spirit, set your mind on the Lord, and allow your spirit to speak, sing, flow in whichever way you step into tonight. And then we'll pray together before I hand over to Steve. When I was praying over tonight, I felt the Lord say two things to me about what he wants to do tonight. And the first was he wants us to take back our voices. It might be that you're a really good singer and you're used to leading worship, and so you probably know your voice is important. But if you're just used to making up the numbers as just a member of the congregation or the group or whatever, you're used to having your voice, it kind of isn't very special and so isn't very important. But in the spirit, it's absolutely critical. And the Lord, the enemy's done his best to rob us of our voices, so we don't really understand the importance and value we carry and our voices carry in the heavens and the spirit realm. And the second thing I saw was little seeds germinating. Do you remember, like when you did it at school, you put like kitchen roll down and you wet it and you put the seeds in and they begin to germinate. And I felt like we're going to germinate new ideas, new ways to connect with the spirit tonight. And well, they'll need protecting and looking after, but they'll produce something lovely. So Father, tonight we just pray that you would show us how to take back our voices. Every one of us, whether we sing perfectly or sing awkwardly. In the spirit, Lord, I know it makes no difference whatsoever. Everything is precious when we sing by faith in the spirit. So I pray that where the enemy has sought to rob us of our voices, I pray that there will be breakage of that tonight and a reclaiming in the spirit and a reconnecting in the spirit to the anointing on our voices and our songs in the spirit. And would you germinate new ideas, new thoughts, new ways in us tonight? We want to step into the highways of the Spirit and learn with great big L plates on. We want to learn afresh and again and anew the ways the Spirit moves and how to connect and move in and through and with the Spirit. So I bless tonight. I thank you for Steve. I thank you for who he is and what he carries. And I bless him as he ministers tonight. And as we activate this stuff and step into practical exercises, pray for a holy kingdom, heavenly hour together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Stuart.
Right, over to you, mister.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. It's really great to see you. I see people who I've met before, and you're going to know some of this already. Because it's really the first strand of what sound is and how you operate as a sound being. I hope even if you have heard it before, it'll be a great revision and a great way to really get up there and do some business. I'm a really do some business person. It's the thing that excites me. So if the choice was to watch the television or to go out and start singing around the neighborhood, I wouldn't be watching the television, you know. But part of it is because I know what it does, and I'm all for worshiping God and completely and utterly. But I also understand about the byproducts of that, what actually happens around you when you release who you are on into the street or into a, you know, into a town center or whatever. And I've seen quite a lot of absolutely fantastic stuff happening. And so I just wondered, question, if you've ever wondered what you sound like. I wonder if you have. Most people have a very different idea of what they sound like to what they really do sound like. And often it's a negative thing because they think, oh, my voice, oh, it just can't do it, you know, it sounds awful. And it really doesn't. We've all got voices that are different and carry different authentic things. And so, what happens when you actually sing? Where does it go? What does it do? You know, there are scientific studies that have seen that when you release a sound, it never actually dies. It fades and it goes somewhere, but it doesn't actually die. You know, when you begin to declare in the Lord something and he says, everything you say in your everything you say in my name will last and last and last and last. And that's actually what sound does. And so I got into sound when I was 18, and we had I was still in, I was in the sixth form, and we had a split party. We had a party between a whole load of headbangers and a whole load of disco soul boys and girls, you know. And we flipped a coin to see who was going to have their music going first, and the headbangers won. And so all the soul people stood around and watched them jiggle their heads and wave their hair around, and the whole atmosphere changed, you know, with the sound. It was very jagged, and it was very a bit threatening, and you know, people were the people who were there dressed in a particular way, with jeans and leather and all sorts, and had long hair, and it was a bit concerning for me, really. I'd never been to a headbanger thing before, and then halfway we changed to the disco people, and the whole atmosphere changed again, and it changed into people were dancing together. Not the headbangers, they sat down or went home, but people danced together, they sang, and there was such an atmosphere of love, you know. And I think soul is sounds of unity and love, and I just thought, how can that happen just from sound? And from 18, I just began to seek God about sound, and I had a really wild experience in Camden Market. As many experiences you can have in Camden Market, and I went down to the bottom floor, three floors down, where all the dodgy stuff goes on. You know, there were crystal shops, there were tarot things going on, all that sort of stuff, and there was no Christian stall at all. And I just said to the Lord, "Where are the Christians? This is the exact place we should be. It's exact place, standing alongside what's going on." And he didn't say. And I went to a coffee shop with my family, and as I was facing my mother-in-law, which isn't always a great experience, trying to think of something to say, it was an Arabic coffee shop, and I heard a whole load of saxophones playing. It was beautiful. And as I looked over to the one of the pathways that went around the market, there were six saxophonists playing in a line, and as they were playing, they were all playing in harmony. It lit up the places where they were, you know. It just suddenly became bright and full of color, and as they moved, the color and the brightness moved with them, but it stayed where it was as well. It didn't move. It just extended its influence. And more and more and more, and nobody was looking at them, and I just couldn't believe, what on earth is going on, Lord? You know, this is incredible. And they came right up to our pathway along the cafe, and they carried on playing, and it was wonderful, but nobody was looking at them. And then the Lord said to me, "Steve, where are my musicians?" And then they dropped to sand and just went onto the floor, and I went, "Oh my goodness." It was a vision that the Lord had given me, and he just said, "Where are my musicians? Where are my people in the sound world?" And so I started to look into sound, and particularly the active points about sound. And so just wanted to say, before we move more into the spirit, the singing of the spirit or whatever, your voice is an unseen, audible version of you. If you could see your voice, it would look like you. And it carries all your loves, your hates, your passions, your family, your education, your triumphs, your disasters, things that have built you up, things that have brought heartache, your age, your size, the type of clothes you wear, your health, and where you're from. Everything about you will come out of that sound, because it expresses who you are. It expresses everything about you. And that gives you a completely unique sound. It might sound like somebody else, but the fact is, you have a completely and utterly unique sound amongst 7.5 billion, or however many people there are on Earth. And therefore, it has a unique anointing to do what I like to call strategically fantastic acts, unlike any other human on Earth. There are certain things, because of who you are and because of what your voice sounds like, that only you can do. I did a session like this in a couple of sessions actually in a church in Wembley quite a few years ago, and they all got it. It was quite an international congregation, and when they were singing, as we're going to do a little bit later, but you'll be able to, you'll have your microphones off, so you don't have to get embarrassed. But when we started to sing, they all sounded beautiful, but they were all trying to sound like an English cathedral choir, and we had lots of tra-la-las and da-da-da and, you know, and high sweeps and whatever. But there was one man at the back of the congregation whose voice sounded like this. And everybody was really, really embarrassed by him. And we carried on, and then we came to the end of the meeting. And then at the back, there was a woman who had a really severe demonic outlet. She flew on the floor and she started to writhe and shout obscenities and whatever. And the congregation got around and started to clap their hands and say, "No, in Jesus' name." Da, 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 da. And nothing happened. It just wouldn't. It carried on and on and on. And then guess who had the authority to see that fairly big demon rejected and sent to Jesus' feet? Yeah, this man with that voice, because that was his anointing. And as soon as he began to shout, within seconds, the demon left her and just went. It doesn't really matter what you think your voice sounds like. It's got an absolutely an utter purpose in eternity, and most people really do sound great to everybody else, but those that don't, it's the special anointing that you've got to deal with certain things in the spirit. And if you think you've got, you know, most people, "Oh, I'm tone deaf." About 0.02% of the population is tone deaf. If you have a voice that the enemy's tried to completely get rid of, he's probably used somebody in the past to really do you down, you know, to really criticize what you sound like and tell you you've got a rubbish voice. Might have even been a teacher, and that's where you've closed in. That's not the case. You know, even if you're tone deaf, you can be healed of that. So your voice is an acute instrument in the kingdom of God. It's an acute instrument in the spirit. And it's all part of the creation's groaning to see the sons, that's male and female, become who they're meant to be. God wants to see, the earth wants to see, the universe wants to see people becoming who they're meant to be, which will transform the church. So the earth and the universe are all made and held together by sound. I don't know whether you realize that. It's actually everything is held together. You're held together by sound, as well as bones and sinews and muscle. So all of the things that register as electrical currents from your brain to different parts of your mind, it's been discovered more recently that they're sounds. They're not just electrical currents. So your body communicates with itself through sound. Every single thing on earth and in heaven and across the universe has a sound. It has what's called a resonant frequency. And that's because everything on earth and in the planets and right across the universe vibrates everything. You know, you can't see it. You can if you take one of the old piano pieces of wood off where so you can see the strings, and if you use your finger on one of the really bottom thick ones, you can actually see it going like that. It'll be vibrating, and it's the vibration that gives the sound. And it's really interesting that when God made the earth, he used his voice to do that. But also, before that all started, Holy Spirit was hovering over the void. All the stuff that was probably there, ready to make all the nuclear stuff and everything, ready to put the earth into place. The Holy Spirit hovered over the void. And the word in Hebrew, which begins with an M, but I haven't got a very good Hebrew accent, means vibrated. So even before the earth was made, Holy Spirit was singing over what was to be. And so everything on earth and heaven have got a sound. And I believe it's to do with that original sounding the earth and the heavens into being. So God actually, the inference in the Hebrew is that God sounded the earth into being. He sounded, "Let there be light." And with that, he established sound as the sticking force of the earth and the heavens. And so everything does sound, everything is there to sing glory to God. Every single thing on earth and the universe has got a frequency, as Psalm 114 says. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, shining stars. Praise him, highest heavens and the waters above the sky. And when they attached a radio mic to the Hubble telescope some years ago, every time it got to a particular planet, different planet, a different sound was coming onto that radio mic. So the planets actually do sing. They do sing to God. So when God actually made the earth and his sound came out, it's the same principle as he's given you. Everything about him was part of that sound. His passions, his history, his delights, his family, his creation, all went into that. And I believe that as a result, everything today still vibrates as part of that initial creation. So the chair that you're sitting on is actually vibrating at the moment. You can't see it, you can't hear it, but it is. You can't necessarily hear those resonant frequencies unless you activate them. We are going on to the spirit. I mean, I just wanted to put down a few laws and stuff. But if you activate it, you can hear it. So this phone here, you can't, it doesn't, apart from, being a phone, the box itself, you can't hear it, but it's vibrating. But if I do that, you can activate it. It actually activates. And so it's God's saving grace that we don't hear everything all the time. Can you imagine hearing everything all the time? The windows, the walls, everything with color, the carpets all making sound. It just wouldn't be a particularly great experience. So humans too have a resonant frequency. Every single one of your organs has got a resonant frequency, all at different speeds. So the higher the frequency, the faster the vibration. The lower the frequency, the slower the vibration. And each of your organs has got that. And so you're actually a walking harmony. Even before we start to look at the voice, you're a walking harmony, which is pretty amazing. And this is where singing in the spirit takes on its purpose. You see, the universe was created as one gigantic symphony of sound. So every planet sings, every star sings, everything on Earth sings, and it's all part of one beautiful sound symphony of harmony. So the word in harmony for in English, Hebrew, means exactly the same in music as it does in, society, harmony and harmony. And when we release our sound, we actually take part in that beautiful symphony. I just believe that the Lord set things up for peace and harmony and glory. So the glory of God is resounding all around the universe, all around us. And when we choose to sing into that, when we choose to agree and become part of that glory, then we change what's happening around us. We change everything for good. We change. We sorry. I'm sorry. I'm stuttering. I'm still recovering from radiotherapy a while ago, and it gives me sort of brain clouds at time. Okay. So Proverbs says that the power of death and life is in the tongue. That's a very good description of what it is. Because when you begin to release your voice, it does two things. The first thing is it creates. The second thing is it destroys. Now that might sound really weird, but sound has the power to create and to destroy. Now, if you take a wine glass, for example, you can't hear its beautiful sound until you flick the side or you pour wine into it and rub your finger around the edge, and it makes this beautiful sound. But if you take that very sound, that very resonance, and beam it at the wine glass, it will explode. And your voice and your sound that you release with all of that anointing, all of that that power that God's given you, can actually create and it can destroy. And so if you think of a choir, a community's created as soon as you begin to sing. If you think of football terraces, community's created when people begin to sing. If you think of the last night of the proms, community is created as you begin to sing. But if you think of the words of the Lord released against certain things, you can see a destruction. If we understood what the resonant frequency was, for example, of Satan's words, and began to beam it at those very things, then we would see them destroyed. They'd explode. If we could understand the resonant frequency of cancers, surely we could begin to sing or release a sound at them and see them completely healed. Well, that sounds a little bit over the top, but actually there have been a number of occasions when that's happened. So, a couple of examples. I had a man come to me and say, I've got oral cancer. I spoke to him on the phone. I've got oral cancer. I've been given 4 months to live. Would you please help me? And I said, okay. And we met up and I started to understand his story about what was happening. His face was incredibly contorted and he got a huge tumor there under his chin, and he'd got his face was misshapen and he'd got terrible skin. It looked really terrible. And he had chosen not to have half of his face taken away by the NHS, because he didn't want he didn't he'd rather die in peace without having that sort of horrible thing happen at the end of his life. And so I began to pray over him, and I began to just talk with him about what had been going on. And he told me his story, and he told me everything, that all the bad stuff that had happened and whatever. Anyway, as I began to play, after about 20 minutes, this tumor here started to shrink under his chin. And I'm saying to myself, don't get excited. It's just a coincidence. It's just a coincidence. And it carried on shrinking. And then another one here started to shrink. And I've never seen anything like this before. But then he shouted, "Oh, it's all coming out the back of my neck." I went, "Oh." And it was just the fact that God was taking all that poison and whatever was going on in his body from his neck, not physically, but it was all coming out. And at the end of the first session that I had with him, he had gone down to 50% cancer, the cancer rate that he'd had on the first day I met him. And he because he went to the oncologist the next day and they told him that from the tests. So he asked me, "When can I come and see you again? Can we carry on?" And I said, "Yeah." And he'd been given a date of likely death as July the 27th. And the Lord, I said to the Lord, "When should we make the next date?" And he said, "When can we make the next date?" And the Lord said, "August the 24th." And he sort of went, "Oh, okay." And I said, "No, that's fine. That's fine." We met on August 24th, carried on playing, and something to do with the sound that we discovered of that particular type of cancer, and they completely disappeared right across his face, and he was cancer free the next day when he had an oncology report. So you see, you can destroy using your sound. When people built bell towers in the medieval period, They unfortunately made lots of mistakes in terms of they made the bell unknowingly the same frequency as the tower, and so after a few weeks the tower completely fell over. There's a number of bridges in the UK and in the US that have been destroyed just because of sound. The Manchester Ship Canal had a bridge, and when army soldiers marched across it, it set up this thing called entrainment. It set it up and it destroyed. So they actually destroyed the bridge by marching over it in formation. So from that day, it was 1856, I think it was. From that day, the British army is not allowed to march in formation when they go over bridges. There was another bridge that went to St Paul's, still does, the Wobbly Bridge they called it, and people think it was something wrong with the stuff that was holding it together and whatever, because every time people got on it started to wobble from side to side, and if they'd have carried on without doing anything, it would have actually collapsed into the sea like the Manchester Ship Canal Bridge, because they set up an entrainment. They'd set up this thing which begins to destroy because one resonant frequency is the same as the other resonant frequency. So I wonder if you've ever thought yourself as having a voice that destroys. And I'm not talking about the power of which you sing, but what would God want you to do out of that? Obviously, it's got to be within his anointing, and it's got to be within his direction. But the Lord's calling you to destroy things that are not quite right in your town, things that are not going too well, things that have satanic attachments or whatever. So your power, the power of your voice, can actually create or it can destroy. When we actually sing, although it's the voice that does it, it actually starts in the head, it starts in the mind. And so there is a point where you can actually sing in the spirit just using your mind. It's a much easier thing to do because you haven't got anything coming out of your mouth, and you don't get embarrassed, and you don't feel criticized or whatever. But I'm wondering if we can just have a go at just imagining what sounds are going to come out of our voice by just thinking about them, by just releasing a sound in our mind, because that's where all sound starts. So I'm going to put on a piece of music, really quiet music, because my keyboard died just before we started this online thing. And I'd like you just to, if you're feeling really brave and want to sing out, then please sing out. But if you're not feeling brave, just begin the process of thinking what you would sing if you sang it. Let's have a go. Just need to sing notes or la or ah in your head. So how were you able to do that? Did you have difficulty in just thinking about that? Actually creating something in your mind? Because singing in the spirit covers quite a few different things. You know, if you're singing out in tongues, it's singing in the spirit. If you are singing a particular, you know, hymn that's got a really great chorus line, that can be singing in the spirit. If you're singing in the bathroom and just going la la na na it's singing in the spirit. Because the spirit controls everything. It controls your body. It may be the smallest thing to look at, but it actually controls the whole thing. And so whether we're singing in with our body, mind, heart, or spirit, or soul, the spirit is the most the strongest of all of those things. So it's not quite as clear that the classifications between soul, body, mind, spirit, heart, but you focus on it. You know, when we focus sound on our family, you can guarantee that the Lord will begin to move in our family. When you focus sound on your street, I can guarantee that if you sing in the spirit every day for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, it will gradually move out from where you are into your house and then into next door and then into the other next door and across the street, and it will begin to bring people in to the glory of God because you're singing in your spirit and you're singing with your own song. So Ephesians 5 says, sing to one another hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs, but make music in your heart to the Lord. And as English people particularly, we're very good at the first and singing hymns and psalms and choruses and great songs. But when it comes to actually singing in the spirit or singing from our heart, we're not quite so good at it. But it's that that actually begins to power the Lord's will into towns and cities and nations. So before we go any further, I'm going to put on that piece of music again. And I want you to be really adventurous and begin to use your voice. The ideas of what you're going to sing come from your mind and your imagination, but the activity of it, well, this time it will come through your mouth. So see what happens. So, for example, for me, I'd be going. Now I'd like you to continue, but think of somebody or something you would really like to bless. It could be a family member, it could be an organization. And just continue, but focus your sound on actually blessing that person or that group of people. So I don't know if you began to feel the glory of God begin to come into the room. What tends to happen is if you are singing your own song, it's not somebody else's words, it's not somebody else's song. You're actually singing it right from your heart. And there's something really incredible about that that God values. I've found that when we've had people singing from their own hearts, the angels just get in there really, really quickly, and the enemy gets out. You know, I've seen the enemy get out of a meeting when we sing like traditional songs eventually. But when the people are actually singing like that from their own experience, he gets out of the way immediately because he's heard that sound before in heaven, and it terrifies him. It absolutely terrifies him. And so just a couple of examples before we do a little bit more of that. When the two Russians got in and poisoned those people in Salisbury, it really, really annoyed me. I wanted justice and whatever, and I was really angry about it. And I just said to the Lord, if we begin to face Salisbury General Hospital from wherever we are and just begin to sing at them, I know that they'll recover. I just know that they will. And so I was doing an event in London the next day, and we all faced Salisbury and we really went for it. Nothing happened, absolutely nothing. I did something in Winchester 2 days later and we released our song. Nothing happened. And the Lord said, the people with the authority to do this live in Salisbury, not where you are. And just happened, I was doing an event with Salisbury Vineyards worship team, and we did 2 hours, and I had to explain the process and everything, probably a bit better than I've done tonight. But and then we faced Salisbury Hospital and we began to release our sound, and we began to call them back from life, back into life from death. And the Lord said to me while we were doing it, the policeman will be out tomorrow. The girl will be out of hospital by the end of the week. And the old man has had 60 years of ingrained life and he needs a bit more time to recover. I told everybody and they thought I was a little bit weird to be saying that, and I was going to look really stupid when this didn't happen. But guess what happened? The next day, the policeman was released from hospital. By the end of the week, the daughter was released, and 3 months later, the father was released. Now that was God calling us to call these people back from the dead. And I didn't realize the hospital was actually preparing them to die, because there was no cure from that sort of attack. And it was a BBC documentary that they did on the whole episode that I realized they didn't know what to do. Well, the Lord did. He called a few of us to start singing and releasing our sound, releasing our authentic sound towards those people who were about 7 miles away, and they all came back to life. As an another story about destruction, where I was asked to go and visit a heavy metal church, which I'd never been to before, and didn't know existed, and I had dubious thoughts about it. But the head of the church said, we've had three suicides this year, and we've got a lot of depression, and so would you come and just see what's going on? And when I got to the church, it was meeting in a pub on Tottenham Court Road called the Intrepid Fox, and outside the pub, there were two busts of Satan, two big statues. When I went inside the pub, all the wallpaper was skeletons and varied and daggers and all sorts, and everybody was dressed in leather, and there were some just really weird things going on. And I went up to the third floor to the church that met there as a witness to these people, and we went through the whole church. It was unusual, I have to say, but it was authentic. I've never sung the 23rd Psalm like that before, I can guarantee. And then it came to the end of the meeting, and the woman who was in charge of the church said, "So what do you think?" And the Lord said to me, "Tell them to get out of this place, because I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to completely destroy it." So I said, "You need to get out, because the Lord's going to destroy this place." And she said, "Oh, you would say that, would you? You're just against us and whatever." I said, "No, that's what the Lord said." And as I got out of the pub to go home, the Lord said, "I want you to turn on this pub, this building, and I want you to release the sound of destruction. And I want you to release onto the four corners, the foundations, and the roof." And so I just turned, and I just released this sound, which sounded sort of, "Wah!" It wasn't a pretty little song, you know. It was actually a sound that God was calling me to see that place destroyed. Well, 3 weeks later, the whole building was bulldozed and down to rubble. It completely destroyed it. Now, that was God doing what he wanted to do. Just happened to be through me at that particular point. But the point is, your sound is incredibly powerful. It's incredibly productive. It can worship, you know, it can really give God high praise. It can change the atmosphere of a room. It can move a community. It can actually bring a nation out of peril, just because of the authenticity that you have. So I'm wondering what God's calling you to. What's he calling you to do? Who's he calling you to be in terms of sound and singing in the spirit? I'd say singing in the spirit, because it's the spirit that brings these things to pass. When he says, "Go and do this, go and do that," it's singing or releasing sound in the spirit, because it's the spirit that's got the capacity to see those things happen. So I'm going to suggest that we finish with just a concentration on something that matters to you, something that is really important in your life. It could be a person or a place or your work or whatever. And we're going to sing a blessing over it. The other thing that sound does is it opens a portal up to God. When Elisha was called into Jehoshaphat's chamber, and he was asked to give a prophecy about the next day's battle, he couldn't do it. He tried, but he just couldn't do it. And so he said, "Bring me a minstrel." And as soon as the minstrel, who was thought to be a prophetic wandering musician, came into the chamber and started to play, as soon as he started to play, Elisha got the word, and he said, "You will win tomorrow," etc., etc. So as you're beginning to sing, you will find that the first person to benefit is you. You'll find that God begins to open the spirit up, open up the heavens, so you can understand what's going on, and he'll give you declarations to make. So let's see how that goes. We'll do this for 5 minutes and see what happens. I hope you felt a sense of Holy Spirit actually begin to rise up in you. I hope you felt glory was beginning to sort of manifest around you. Just that's what God wants to do for all of us. You can do that anywhere. And if you're in bed next to your wife or husband and you don't want to wake them up, you could do that in your head. You know, I've known people who have sung in the spirit in the night and they've travelled to places, and one person in particular saw a friend of hers being attacked, being strangled by a demonic force, and she began to sing at that person and command it off, and it went away. And then she met the person a little bit later in the week, and that is what he got, a terrible choking feeling in the middle of the night. So singing in the spirit has got all sorts of potential. It'd be a really good study for you to actually do every day, just for 5 minutes, and see what happens. Just see what changes, and how the atmosphere in your house begins to just change incredibly. Okay, thank you very much. I hope that's been a little bit of an interesting look on things. You're muted, Stuart.
Hi. Yeah, Steve, thank you so much. Why don't we just have a couple of minutes? So if you've got any questions or thoughts or comments, just to unmute yourself and we'll just sort of have a bit of a sort of chat time before I bring it into land.
Steve, I have a question.
Yeah.
So I just have millions of melodies that are constantly in my head, like all the time. And so the exercise that we just did, I find incredibly easy because I'm always singing in my head. What's the di How do I know the difference from singing in my head, if you know what I mean, and making melodies up to singing in the spirit? Is there a difference between the two or?
It's your focus. It's
Okay.
all about focus. So I would say you're singing in the spirit.
Okay. Thank you.
Richard, did you have one? Yeah.
Yeah, just quickly. When you hear people using amplifiers and the huge sound systems, does that amplify in any way, or is it's got to be authentic within you?
No, I think amplifiers can be really useful. You know, when you're standing next to a really loud amplifier, it will go through your whole body because your skeleton is like a one huge ear. It's porous, and it takes the sound from anywhere in your body up to your ears, and then from your ears into the brain. And your ears are used in exactly the same way. But there are three times more receptors to the brain from the ears as there are from the eyes. That's how important sound is. People have tried to cure the effects of Parkinson's by putting them in front of speakers and listening to what's called acid dub music, or they can do it on headphones, and it stops them shaking, and and they're able to walk in a straight line. So now I think amplifiers. I mean, the keyboard that I've got here, apart from it's died, has got some great resonance about it. It really, well, it did have, God bless it. But yeah, so I think amplifiers are okay. Yeah.
I'm only curious because in Africa, some of the churches are so loud. We're talking
Oh,
over
absolutely.
105 decibels. This is like so loud, and it destroys your ability to even think.
Totally.
And it's very curious. I was trying to reach that point where it would be lovely to try in a church to get everyone to do their authentic singing and just see what happened in a church.
Yeah,
Like
absolutely.
in, you know, when people pray in tongues and they pray in the spirit, but actually do it as a vocal thing and just see how that worked. I'd love to try that. In
That'd
fact,
be
I'm going to try
fantastic.
that.
You would see the glory, come, you really would. I've seen
Yeah, you do. I was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, Steve. It was
Thank
really,
you.
really great experience. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda.
Yes, Steve, have you got any thoughts about use of the shofar?
I think the shofar has just got one of those sounds, hasn't it? It's God anointed.
Well, you make the sound in your lips and
Yeah.
it amplifies the sound.
Same principle as the trumpet and, you know, the trombone and things like that. You're actually making the sound. So yeah, when you play an instrument, it actually becomes it's like an extension of you. So you can do this using instrumentals as well. Yeah, Linda.
You know that I'm a pianist and therefore use sound as well. Do you think that the singing is more powerful than, say, the sound of the piano? Or what are your thoughts on that?
No, I don't. I think they're equal. It's
Okay.
the originality of what you're doing that counts. So I go to the Middle East on undercover expeditions, and I play where I've got the access to a piano, and I'm playing the glory of God, the glory of the Christian Almighty God, and extraordinary things happen, as I think I've told you about, you know. And so no, it's the common factor is it's you doing it. You're releasing your sound. You're not playing for music or whatever. You're just doing what, you know, what's inside. It's the glory that you carry, you know. But we all carry the glory every second of every day. And the only way that could happen in the Old Testament was for one man, one day a year, could witness the glory of God. We've got it all the time. So we're releasing the glory of God whenever we do that, I think. But if it's secondhand and it's somebody else's songs all the time, it doesn't quite work in the same way.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for clarifying that.
James.
Last
Yeah,
one.
thank you. I've got sort of several things, but I found your background music very helpful. Not because I was joining in the same frequency or whatever, but just to get going. And I was sort of humming rather than
Oh,
singing.
absolutely.
But the last time I was sort of singing. And do you think that the difference then is singing is more worshipful than sort of speaking in tongues?
Think it's just different. I think heaven has a musical language. There's something about singing or releasing different notes that is really special in God's ears.
Worshipful.
Because it's honest, it's honesty, you know. Lots of people in the world have got fed up of words. You know, they've heard them because words of people have upset them with words or destroyed them with words. When you begin to sing using just sound, it still communicates incredibly. We were doing a thing in Winchester 10 years ago where we just did this. We had a band and we had voices on microphones. And within like 5 minutes, we had a couple of hundred people who surrounded us and were listening intently, really, really listening. And they were all, the vast majority were men in their 30s and early 20s, late 20s, which isn't that the most difficult people group the church tries to reach. And everybody knew that something was going to happen. And we had a zone in front of us, a circle. And as people walked through, they started to shake, and it really freaked them out because they were shaking with the power of God that they didn't even believe in. You know what I mean? And so we had people there to go to and ask for about, you know, what's going on, what's happening. Or some people would say, "This just reminds me of my dad. Why am I crying?" You know, yeah, it was just sound. But there's nothing that is just sound.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Steve. As we just draw to a close, I would say the last 10 years since I started learning this stuff, it's revolutionized my spirituality profoundly. And I'd say in a couple of things. One is faith and focus. It's what you're trying to do in looking to step into the realm of the spirit and release your spirit. By wanting to do that, you'll be doing it because you're a Christian. So your spirit wants to sing. Like a horse wants to run, your spirit wants to sing. So you start singing with your focus on the Lord and allow your learn to practice and get past your own self-embarrassment of maybe not doing it quite right, or and learn to get past that, because your shame will shut you down. But when you begin to get past that, that's why practicing on your own always is where you start, really, for most of us. You want to get past practicing into flow, where the song and the melody and the sound has now flowing through you rather than you creating it. That's when you know that you're really moving in a flow of the spirit, because you are in the flow and the flow is in you and you're being swept along. And it may take a bit of time to get to that. Smith Wigglesworth famously said when he prays, he said, "I always begin in the flesh, but I end up in the spirit." So we often begin somewhere where it's a bit awkward, but we keep going, keep practicing, get past the shame, and you'll begin to flow, and the flow will flow through you as you sing. And that's everyone, all of us have got our own journey on this, but doing it alone as part of your precious time with alone with the Lord becomes incredibly important, as does in the way you pray for situations. Praying in English, praying with words is critical. Singing over things is critical. It's all critical, but you've got many weapons in your weapon box, in your armory. And what I love about Stevie, he's trying to draw out one that's got really shut down in the Western church, where we're always singing American songs, Australian songs, someone else's songs. And actually, rather than really sing our own songs between with the Lord, we actually end up copying all the time. So I think this is about you releasing your own song in the privacy, as it were, of your home before the Lord. And if you're part of a church that learns to do this, then watch out, because there's tremendous power to get released. But if you haven't, just start on your own and practice on your own and see where God takes you to with it. Now, as we draw to close, I would love to bless Steve. If we were in a classic meeting, we'd be taking up a little offering. Can't do that. If you want to give something to Steve to bless and sow into his ministry in the UK, in the Middle East, when he goes and sound bombs Mecca and the places like this, his heart is to release evangelists and evangelism and release the church and then go sound bomb the Middle East. Over this week, go to jesusministry.life, our website. Go to Project 40, which is my page. And any money you give to me this week will go straight to Steve. Practically, that's the best way to do it. If, in fact, you want to sow into my life and my ministry after this last year, whatever, then don't do it this week. Save it to next week. And then, by all means, as you see fit, as the Lord leads you, then please, sow into it. We believe this is all about investing into the kingdom rather than trying to sort of give people. I've just been to America where everyone was being tipped all the time. It's very odd for the English culture. This is not tipping people to say thank you. This is sowing into kingdom ministry. We believe profoundly in partnership. You receive a blessing when you give, and when you give both ways, everybody gets to be blessed. So on the money front, we hardly ever talk about it. And it's the second time in 15 months I've mentioned it, but as you wish. But go via the Project 40 page on the JesusMinistry.life website. And if you've got any questions on that, you can always email Jeanette. Now, practically, we're not meeting in August. The next time we meet on a Monday night is September 14. But if you want to come and do some in-person stuff, we've got three things next term in the autumn. You can come and do it practically in person for a day. One is the 8th and 9th of September, which is a leader. So if you're involved in any form of leadership, you're welcome. Could be in a church, could be in a charity, could be in business, wherever. 8th and 9th, we're going to do a 24 hours, well, it's about 30 hours, an overnighter with a meal together with other leaders who are wanting to step into the supernatural flow. That's down in Waycroft Hall. It's all on the emails we've sent out, but I'm just going to remind you of them. October 10 is your Impact Day. That's going to be Epping Forest Community Church. And we're doing a day, and we're calling it praying. I've just put we're calling it Praying on the Mountain, Shaping Destiny from the High Places. How do you step into the high places and release destiny over other people? Over your own life from the high places. That's October 10. And I think that's very connected to praying for our nation. So if you have a heart to pray for our nation ahead of this move of God that's coming, then be there. And then the last thing we've been is a date in November at Waycroft Hall. It's Friday night and a Saturday. Steve and I will be doing that. And again, another time to come and just soak in this stuff. Because I think something happens when we do an hour together on Zoom, which is brilliant, but sit in this for a day and a half and watch what happens. If something shifts at a quite a profound level, as a sort of subatomic level within us.
Something.
And any questions, do ask, but everyone's basically invited to everything. And if you come to the stuff in Devon, we'll try and put you up locally with church family, so it's not too expensive.
Stuart, what was the date in November?
Off the top of my head, it's on the emails that we've sent out.
Okay.
And off the top of my head, I can't remember, but it will be on emails, and we'll be sending out more reminders in the autumn.
Stuart, can I just say one more thing?
Yes, sure.
Quite a few people have asked me about the music that you heard, or that style of music. It's basically minimalism, or it's called meditation music, but you really don't want the wrong sort of meditation music on. So there are two people in America who do quite a lot of it, called Alberto and Kimberly Rivera. They're really good. And you can get those on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Music. And then I've got quite a few. That one was mine that I played. So there are a few. If you put my name into Spotify or Apple or what's it?
Amazon.
Amazon. Yeah, Amazon.
You're on, I've got you on Amazon.
Spotify as well. That's what I meant. Then you'll get those there. That was called. I'm writing a series of background music that you can put on before a prayer meeting or during a prayer meeting, because sound actually opens up a portal. So that was one of those. It was called Number Two, background music Number Two. Okay, thanks, Stuart.
All right. Guys, love you lots.
What's Steve's surname? Sorry.
Abley,
Abley.
Abley. And he's also written a book, which you can look up
Yeah.
on
Amazon, yeah.
Amazon.
Releasing your sound on musical
Thank
platform.
you, everybody. See you in
Thank
September.
you.
Have a
Thank you
lovely
so
August.
much. Thank you. I'm
Bye.
sure it's
Thank you.
brilliant. God
Bye,
bless
everybody.
everyone.
Yeah.